Hello, and welcome back to the Chris Yeh podcast. I am, as always, Chris Yeh, and I have a very special guest to me, guest with me today, Andrea DeMauro Walton, or Dre, as I'm going to refer to you for the rest of the time. Now, Dre and I know each other through the very awesome Ted Lasso clubhouse room that I set up a long time ago with Tim Taylor and Thea Newcomb, and Dre and many other people become dear friends. And we came together today because we have this strong desire to talk about the amazing, not just Ted Lasso, but the amazing Strange New Worlds Star Trek show that has just finished its first season. So we're eagerly looking forward to it. But Dre, before I go on nattering, say hello.
Hello. Hi, now, everybody. I'm really excited to be here.
Now, Dre, I always love people to get to know the folks who are guests on the show. And I want to start off by asking, well, where did you grow up? Like, because that's always very formative. What was the town you grew up in? What was your early life like?
Well, born, raised, lived, never left Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago.
Chicago. Chicago, eh? And I love it here. My parents were immigrants from Argentina. So first generation American, me and my brothers here. I feel like very Chicago, but I also then have this, you know, part of me that is also not very American and very South American feeling. So that's who I am.
You've got the Latin blood within you.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Now that I know that you are a long time, lifelong, in fact, Chicago resident, I have to ask, North Side, South Side?
Ooh, both. I grew up on the South Side, but have lived on the North Side now. So I am one of those annoying people. People in Chicago get so mad at me because they ask me that. And I'm like, I love both. And they get so mad. Like, they're like, you have to pick. I'm like, if you forced me to pick, I would say I grew up on the South Side. The South Side doesn't get enough love. I'm a Southsider, but you know, really, I love the Cubs, love the Sox, whatever.
If there's anything we've learned from Ted Lasso, it's that you should just be you. And if that includes loving both the Cubs and the White Sox, I think that's A-okay.
Thank you.
Now, in addition, so you grew up in Chicago, and I think you grew up very artistically. Now, we don't release these videos, but if people could see the video, they could see you have this magnificent purple mane of hair. It's swept up in what I like to call Pike's Peak. That's a little preview of what's to come. And to me, that really fits with the image I have of you, someone who's very artistic, someone who's very in touch with her creative side. And in fact, you actually have a BFA in photography. So you are truly an artist. Tell me about art and the role it's played in your life.
Yeah, so I've always loved art, even when I was very young. My parents were really good about like traveling with us. So like we were always traveling. Well, we traveled up to Argentina, obviously, when we were little, but they also took us on a few trips to Europe. And I always loved going to the museums, just wanted to go to the museums all day. I still can to this day. And so I've always loved art. And I just found this passion in photography because I kind of like, you know, probably honestly pre-computer, right? Like I loved the I kind of loved this combining of technology and art very much. And so I really got into photography and got my BFA in that. My dream, I was going to be, my goal was to be the photographer for Rolling Stone magazine, like Ann Leibovitz. I wanted to be Ann Leibovitz. That was my dream. Then I found the computer. So yeah, so like I was in college. I mean, the computer had been out, right? So the, you know, the Mac came out, what, where in the 80s? I don't remember.
1984. So it had been around, it had been used by graphic artists, and we were graduating. We actually graduated, if you can believe this, the same year. So we're both mature. And by then, computers existed. People were just starting to get email and things like that. It was very much the dawn of the internet era, but maybe just a year or two before things really kicked off with like Netscape's IPO and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I took like a, it was, I can't remember what the class was called, but basically it was learning Photoshop. And it was like an early version of Photoshop. And I loved it. I was like, ooh, this is cool. And so immediately just started getting into like graphic design and like doing photography on the computer. And my first job out of college then was at a photo lab. And very quickly, like they also were just getting computers and they were like, they like bought a computer and they were walking around the office and they're like, we need to find someone who knows how to use this. And I was like, I know how to use it. You know, I took a couple classes. And so I kind of became their digital artist at this photo lab and learned retouching. And so I just kind of like kept on that train my whole life. And now I'm a project manager.
Do you still get to do any of the creative work, or are you now just like a suit?
I do my own. I'm never going to be just a suit. I do my own creative work. I occasionally, like every so often, something will come up at work where they just need someone to open a file and do one thing. And I'm like, I'm not going to create a project for someone else to do this. I'm just going to open this file and do it. That is the extent of my creative at work. But personally, I do my own photography and my own things, you know, for myself now.
Now I have to ask, do you have like an Instagram or a gallery or something like that where people can see this? I want to see it. And I bet some of the other listeners would as well.
Unfortunately, I don't. I am not great with that. I am not like Twitter is my most active social media. I'm not great about sharing stuff. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. So I don't have anywhere to...
We're going to have to do something about that. We'll get Thea on the job. I'm sure she can figure out some way to convert it into a Canva project somehow.
Perfect.
Well, I have to ask you about your career in the arts because, and I warned you about this in advance, so it's not a surprise. Along the way, you're working for Playboy for a number of years. So how did that happen? What does working for Playboy involve? Is it like, no, we have to retouch that too much of that body part is showing? What's going on here?
Yes. So, okay. So in my careers, learning retouching and being a designer, I worked for the lab that did a lot of print work for Playboy. And I got to know them. And, you know, along the way somewhere I had gotten laid off and they like happened to talk to the lady that I knew from Playboy. And she's like, well, we'll hire you freelance. And so I started working for them freelance. So it was a lot of retouching. I did a lot of retouching on the girls, the women. And I also helped, like I did a lot of the, at the lab I worked at, we did a lot of the promotional posters. So when there was one of the models that was signing autographs somewhere, or they were doing some kind of a thing, like I would make the advertising posters. So that was mainly what I did. So yes, the retouching is, it's intense. There's a lot of makeup. And there's a lot of retouching, and I'm going to shock all of your listeners. This is going to be shocking, but about 90% of those women isn't real. I know. Our minds are all blown.
I'm stunned. my illusions are gone. And what, you know, the things they say in the interviews aren't true either. And they weren't all just so eager to be a part of Hef's harem. I'm stunned.
I know, it's shocking. So there literally were, and this is my favorite part, there were folders and folders of body parts. And you would be like replacing them or just like, I mean, you know, there's even some like almost kind of a gallery somewhere someone had of like a gallery of fails where there was just like a group of girls that were not pictured together, but then they were put together. And so like, then there's like extra arms and they'll be like, there's only four girls in the picture, but there's eight, you know, like eight pairs of arms somehow, like things just went horribly wrong for various reasons. And yeah, so that was the best part, was it was literally, it's very well organized, but it was a folder of parts and you'd be like, oh, I need a hand. Oh, I need this, you know, and you'd search for it and find one that fit and color correct it. And
yeah, I could use someone to do that for me in real life all the time and just real time as I'm doing these Zooms. Unfortunately, it doesn't work in person.
If I could do that, I would totally work for you and do that.
You know, I got to admit, I'm a big fan of the Zoom retouch. I always have it dialed up. I'm like, make me look 10 years younger, make all those things happen. Please, studio magic, do your thing. So now, of course, you have this professional, this long-term career. You've been working the creative side. You're managing people, doing all this stuff in the city of Chicago. I don't know, eating some brats and going to see De Bears and all that sort of thing. And then along comes this thing, Ted Lasso. And I get to know you through this clubhouse. And you're also part of the amazing crew that runs the Coach Beards Book Club podcast. How did you end up as a part of this? Did you know any of the other ladies in advance? Is this all something that just grew out of fandom? How did this happen?
It all grew out of the fandom. And I mean, Ted Lasso, as you know, is just such a joy. It was from the, I think all of us in our original group, and even some of the people who didn't necessarily join our clubhouse but are part of like the Twitter community, that have like their own podcasts and stuff, just like, we all just kind of found each other very quickly in the beginning. And it was such a happy little place. And we were all so like, it was one of the best fandoms I've ever been a part of. And like, we're about to talk about Star Trek. Star Trek fandom has some very dark places that I will not tread. Ted Lasso, on the other hand, is mostly good. I've noticed later, like there's, definitely some.
The toxicity comes, as it often does, from the somewhat overzealous shippers who become very attached to
Yes.
particular notions of how the show should go. And that happens to all shows, of course. The creators are making their choices. But yeah, I would say it's at a minimum for Ted Lasso in comparison to other fandoms, but there's still a little bit there because we're still human beings.
Yeah. And I feel like what happened is, right, so we, started talking about Ted Lasso all the time. And then much like you and me talking here today about Star Trek, we all like other things too. And books is something, I'm a huge reader. I read constantly. And ended up finding this other group of people that were talking about books. And there's all these books in Ted Lasso. And so that's where the Coach Beers Book Club kind of was born from, all of us being like, well, I like books and I like Ted Lasso. Let's talk.
And I heartily recommend to all my listeners, you should go check out Coach Beard's book club. Dre is on it. It's awesome. It's you and Michaela and Bex and Marita. They're up then various guest stars as well, though you guys are the core four. And
Yes.
it's just a fantastic A, literary discussion, and B, Ted Lasso adjacent discussion as well.
Thank you.
So let's get to the main event, which is Star Trek Strange New Worlds, a fantastic new series. Now, Paramount Plus has been cranking out Star Trek series like there's no tomorrow. And I have to admit, I have watched all the series that they've put out on Paramount Plus. They are of extremely varying degrees of quality, and we'll talk about that. I think there's no question that Strange New Worlds is by far the single best thing they've put out. And I would just love to hear a little bit more about your Star Trek journey. How did you come to Star Trek? How did you come to Strange New Worlds? Have you been watching these other shows? We won't disparage them. I'm not one of these people who's like angry about these shows. I'm like, hey, they each have their own thing and we can talk about them.
Yeah. So I definitely started. I've always been into sci-fi and probably more sci-fi even than fantasy, but both. It took me a while to really get into fantasy, but sci-fi I've loved. And so when I was little, we used to watch the reruns as a family of Star Trek, the original series. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. And we used to watch Doctor Who. Like, we were just a sci-fi family. And so that's where it started. And then it just kind of never stopped. And it just, as every show came out, like, I just remember when Next Generation started and he did his intro and he said, instead of, where no man has gone before, he said, where no one. I literally cried. I was just like, oh, like, it was just, like, as a girl and growing up and being, like, Uhuru obviously was such an icon, and like, to see that transition of the show. And like, what I really love, I'd say the modern Star Trek has continued that growth and progression. Like, the original series was groundbreaking for everything it was doing at the time. And you look back at it now and it seems so like, oh my God, they were, like, we can look back at it now and criticize, but at the time they were opening doors and breaking barriers, and every series since has done the same thing.
Absolutely. And my story was similar. Grew up with reruns of the original series on television and watched them. And again, with the original series, people forget this is something that was made when most every other series on television was either a cop show or a Western. It was actually one of the first color television series. That was one of the reasons why it was so brightly colored. They wanted to convince people to actually buy these expensive new color television sets. And to say it was groundbreaking almost understates it. I mean, it's just completely different than anything that came before. Now, speaking of the original series, of course, because it ties in so closely with Strange New Worlds, I have to ask, you know, what's your favorite character? What's your favorite episode? What are the things you love the most?
Of the original series, Spock is probably
everyone loves Spock. And we'll talk more about Ethan Peck's Spock soon, because he's doing a phenomenal job. But Leonard Nimoy, of course, is the original.
Yes. And I, you know, aforementioned Uhura, I loved her as well. But Spock, just something about the alien human thing that he went through was, you know, fascinating, if I may use that word. Fascinating, with my eyebrow crooking up. And then favorite episode, I actually really loved that first episode then where Pike, like that story always intrigued me. Like, and I think that was the thing for Strange New Worlds, definitely, that was just like, oh, finally, like, you know, seeing how Pike got to that point. Because I was always fascinated by that episode and like what Spock was doing, you know, Spock's reaction and like how he was like breaking the rules because Pike was his friend and he was going to help his friend get to this, you know, the planet. I can't remember the name of that.
I'm Talos not good with 4. The name of Talos 4.
Thank you. Yeah. And so that, yeah, that journey and that emotional connection that they had was something that really drew me. And I always loved that episode.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is a great episode. And just like you, I mean, as is true for most people, I think Mr. Spock was always sort of my favorite character because he's just so cool and so smart. And it's almost like a wish fulfillment because he's like stronger, faster, smarter than everyone. And yet at the same time, he's also, even though Vulcans are supposed to be humorless, he's also really funny. And that, so that's something that Ethan Peck really picks up on in Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, agreed.
So Star Trek, the original series comes out. What about the movies? Like, are you watching? Because you and I are about the same age and we're a little young for Star Trek, the motion picture, or as some people call it, Star Trek, the motionless picture. So probably we don't see that. You didn't see that in the theaters. But when do the movies come into your life?
Well, yeah. So actually, funny story. I am the youngest of my family. So I have two older brothers. And like I said, we were all watching these sci-fi shows together. And my dad was taking my brothers to see Wrath of Khan. And I really wanted to go, really wanted to go. And he took me and I was terrified. That scene with the ear, you know,
the eels. Oh God, that's the, I agree. It's so horrifying.
I was a small child. I'm like, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Like holding on to my chair.
You probably like, you know, roughly probably like 9-10 years old at that point, so it's a bit young to see, you know, mind control eels being used.
And like, I mean, that scene is so vivid in my mind because I was so terrified. But I didn't want to show my fear, because if I showed my fear, if I cried, my dad wouldn't take me to any more movies with my brothers, and I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be a big girl, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're the youngest, you're like, no, I want to be with my, you know. So that was my first. And then I saw the movies after that. But that was the first one I saw in theater.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, many people debate the various movies. To me, I think it's very clear that The Wrath of Khan is the single best Star Trek movie.
Ooh, I might go with Voyage Home.
Voyage Home is really good. Undiscovered Country is really good. If we talk about the next generation era, you know, obviously First Contact is very good as well. Those are all fantastic movies. And even, you know, some people really don't like the J.J. Abrams movies. I feel like both the original Star Trek reboot and Star Trek Beyond are good.
Agreed.
Into Darkness. You know, this is the fascinating thing, right? And this is all these call forwards to Strange New Worlds. Strange New Worlds does the tweaking canon so much better than J.J. Abrams did in Into Darkness. I mean, it's just, done so well in Strange New Worlds, and it's done so poorly in Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah. Agreed.
So we have the Star Trek movies. Now, what about the various series? Now, we'll go through each of them before we get to Strange New World. So, of course, there's the Next Generation. Sounds like you're a big Next Generation fan. What's your favorite mm-hmm. character? What's your favorite episode?
I think Data.
Oh, Data. Mr. Data. Oh, the heir to Spock in many ways.
Yes. Favorite episode? That might be kind of hard. I mean, I love the one with Data and his daughter, Lowell. Lowell, right? That's
a good one.
That is heartbreaking. I also love there's a lot of good ones in Next Generation. There's a lot of bad ones. Like in the beginning of the pandemic, before I found Ted Lasso, I rewatched the entire
there's some rough stuff early on.
There are some rough episodes. There's some great, oh, well, of course, the Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. Oh, my God.
Wonderful episode.
Hugh of Borg
is great. One of my personal favorites, just because it's so seldom that people do this so well. So the ultimate, the finale, the series finale, just done so well. Very seldom is a series finale done so well. They just landed the plane brilliantly. Just an amazing, amazing thing. I remember I was in college at the time. I don't know. I think you might've been in college at the time as well, because I think we graduated the same year. And we were sitting around watching. And the moment when, towards the climax, Riker comes in with the most futuristic Enterprise with the giant phaser lance and just slices through the Klingon ships, the cheer that went up in the room full of people was like, oh my God, what a feeling.
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
All right. So we have Next Generation. After Next Generation comes Deep Space Nine. Very different. But there are some people who are like, Deep Space Nine is my favorite Star Trek series. Where does Deep Space Nine fit in for you?
I actually agree. I think Deep Space Nine is the most consistent from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Of all of them. And it goes to some real interesting places. I mean, the whole, him as being that sci-fi writer from the 50s.
Yes, Beyond the Stars, in the Pale Moonlight, they were addressing social issues even more directly than any other Star Trek show had done before. Of course, Avery Brooks is a phenomenal lead actor, just like Patrick Stewart's a phenomenal lead actor, and just a fantastic show. Again, favorite character, favorite episode or arc?
I loved Dax. Jadzia Dax. Jadzia Dax. Yeah.
Jadzia Very important Dax. To specify that.
Yeah. I think she was my favorite.
Now, a fantastic character. And which episode did you enjoy the most?
I'm going to say the one that, Beyond the Stars. Yeah.
And again, remarkable achievements. So after Deep Space Nine came Voyager, I believe. Voyager was next on the list. It has its supporters, and Catherine Mulgrew, Kate Janeway, has become a legendary captain and figure. But I gotta say, I did not feel it was as good as The Next Generation or Deep Space Nine.
Completely agree. I think they really missed out an opportunity there of what they could have done with it. Yeah. They really kind of dropped the ball on that one.
Favorite character? And name an episode. I'm not sure if I can name an episode of Voyager.
Seven of Nine. And then the one where I think the whole arc of how she came aboard, I think was really interesting. Yeah. But Seven of Nine. Yeah.
Yes. Certainly an iconic figure who then makes a reappearance. We may talk about at least briefly in Picard. Although I will say, I've not been interested enough to watch season two of Picard yet.
Okay. Yeah.
But I need to, I know I should do it. I do plan to do it. I just haven't, I couldn't get excited about watching it in the same way I could get excited about watching Strange New Worlds. Is it Thursday yet?
Yeah. Strange New Worlds is something special. Yeah. They really have something special there.
All right. Next series is Enterprise. Mm-hmm. Probably the least watched of the Star Trek series. Does feature some great actors. Obviously, Scott Bakula is a really accomplished science fiction legend. And, it's interesting to sort of get some of the backstory on the Federation and Vulcan and learn a little bit more about the Andorians as well. But I don't know, how do you feel about Enterprise?
I didn't love it when I first watched it. When I rewatched it in my epic rewatch of everything, I liked it a lot more.
Yeah.
Phlox, Dr. Phlox is my favorite character on that series. He's so good.
Yes,
And my
Peter
favorite ep
Billingsley.
yes. I would say my favorite episode is another time travel one. It's one where they kind of again, I'm so bad with the names of the episodes, so forgive me. But it's one where like they kind of are telling a story of some ancestors of the Vulcan to Paul,
Yes.
of some of her ancestors that
On
had they
Earth.
yeah they got to Earth earlier than everyone thought, and they were trying to live with the humans, and that was a very interesting episode.
No, I have seen that episode before, and I agree. That's definitely an excellent episode. And again, it's a show where I think it's underappreciated because of sort of when it came and the time period. It was sort of, and it also never got a chance to really finish its full arc as a result.
No, right? Wasn't it only 4 seasons, I
It was
want to
only
say?
4 seasons. It was supposed to be more. I did really enjoy. Maybe it's just fun. I did really enjoy the Mirror Universe episodes on Enterprise, where in the Mirror Universe you get a sense of just how evil they are, and you could tell the actors are having fun, like really playing evil. And the Defiant is there somehow because of the Tholians, and it's just a, I just think it's a hilarious, also dark and terrifying kind of vision. So after Enterprise, there was a bit of a fallow period, and then we had the J.J. Abrams reboot movies, and then we have the idea of what was once upon a time CBS All Access, now Paramount Plus. First, they come out with Discovery. Now, what do you think of Discovery?
I like it. It's not as watchable on reruns. Like, I enjoyed watching it, and then when I was doing my rewatch, I kind of really slowed down when I got to Discovery. Like, I don't know, it's not rewatchable.
I would agree with that. Part of it is the extreme serialization, which means that it's hard to sort of get dropped in the middle. And part of it is just more uneven than Stranger Worlds. One of the big contrasts I've seen a lot of people talk about is how Strange New Worlds is truly an ensemble, where you have a variety of characters and you know each of them, even if you don't necessarily know their names, right? I mean, people will know Ortegas, people will know Nurse Chapel, people will know La'an, but even, on the bridge, Mitchell's on the bridge, and I'm like, why is her name Mitchell? I can't really tell, but you could get a little bit of her personality. Whereas in Discovery, I mean, if you ask me to name any of the bridge crew other than the ones that we that are the center of everything, which is to say Michael and Saru and Tilly, and then calling up Stamets down in engineering, it's like, okay, so there's the black guy, the Asian guy, the blonde girl. Owusu-Kun has gotten her own episode, so I can actually know her name. And Detmer, I know, but Detmer and Owusu-Kun sort of got graduated to being principal cast members. There's still all these other ones. I have no idea who they are.
Yes, I agree. Discovery struggles. I will say one interesting on a personal note. My husband passed away after the first season. Wait, was it after the first season, or I can't remember exactly where, but my husband's name was Hugh, and the doctor is Hugh. And so then it was after my husband passed that they had then this the part where he comes back. Oh my God, that just, oh, I was
My
weeping
gosh.
watching that. I'm like, Hugh, like it was just like that was like beautiful to me to watch that. So like I have that connection with it, but like on just how the show is,
Yeah,
I don't know.
and that's not the fault of the cast members, right? The actors
No.
are great,
Yeah, it's a
right?
great show.
Sonequa Martin-Green is great. Doug Jones is amazing. Anthony Rapp is great. Wilson Cruz plays Dr. Hugh Culber, phenomenal. I mean, these are people who have been award-winning actors in so many other things, and then here they are as well. But somehow all the components don't quite come together. I mean, it's really interesting. There's the plot lines, from season one, from season two, from season three, from season four, the plot lines even in cases where people feel like, well, they don't quite end right or something like that, the plot lines are interesting. And, mm-hmm. you know, I do, like, for example, the sort of, in many ways, the most recent season of Discovery with the communication with the alien species, that sort of felt the most traditionally Star Trek of any of the Discovery seasons in many ways.
You know, and you know what I think it is? What's interesting? I think it's the first series where the stories aren't what's driving you back. It really is the character. Like I love, like you just said, I care about all those characters. Every single one of them are great, and I have something with each of them. But the story is just kind of like,
Exactly. I will of the so of the Discovery characters, who is your favorite Discovery character?
I think it's Stamets.
And again, Anthony Rapp does a phenomenal job. I'm also I love many of those characters. I'm very partial to Tilly. Mary Wiseman does a fantastic job as Tilly as well. I don't know, I mean, obviously sort of packed off to Starfleet Academy. I'm hoping that she returns to the show. She brings a very necessary energy to the show.
We have
a whole bunch of people who are like very serious and tormented all the time, and she brings more of that positive energy that I think is missing.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, now we got to keep going. Then they bring out Picard. It's like, oh my God, Patrick Stewart is back, and so is Seven of Nine.
Yeah, I enjoy it for the nostalgia of it, but I think it also, like you just said about how you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. I care deeply about all those characters. It's lovely to see them all together again. There's something, it's one intense long story. I enjoy watching them, but I'm never going to go back.
Yeah. And now we're on to two of the interesting entries, because they are animated entries. Mm-hmm. We have Lower Decks and Prodigy. And we can deal with them individually or separately. Have you watched Lower Decks? I mean, Prodigy is an interesting one because it's also intended for children.
Mm-hmm. I've watched both. I definitely enjoy Lower Decks a little bit more, but there is something very interesting they're creating in Prodigy.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know the character names well. I have not, like, I'm not great on that, but like the girl that, I don't know if you've seen it, but
I have watched, exactly.
There's something very interesting about her.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to watch that when that comes back, but Lower Decks is funny. It's hilarious. I love the reverence.
I love Lower Decks. And so the important question is, like, which Lower Decks character do you like, is your favorite, and which one do you identify with the most?
Oh, well, I love Boimler. Just that actor, everything about him,
partial to Boimler.
Yeah. Who do I identify with? I don't know who I identify with I have to think about, I honestly have to think about that. I don't know.
Think about that for a bit. The other thing I would say about Lower Decks is, like Strange New Worlds, and I think it's true of the better shows, there is truly an ensemble, and enough of the side characters get a day in the sun such that we know them. Like we have a sense of feeling for them. Obviously, you know, we have our core characters, but then we have Captain Freeman, we have Jack Ransom, we have Chief Engineer. What's his name? The Chief Engineer, who is actually the prince from the Dragon Kingdom.
Right.
and it's also, you know, even though they're making fun of all the silly things about Star Trek, the fact is they all, as one of the things I thought was the most funny thing of all, was when Boimler fell in with the fellow red shirts who wanted to be captains, and they spent all their time practicing heroic monologues instead of actually doing anything.
Right.
And they make fun of all this stuff because it really is true. I'm like, oh my God. It's like, okay, all right, it's time to step up to be a Starfleet captain. You know what that means? You have to give a motivational speech.
Right. It is. They're mocking themselves as they're in it, yes. And it's good. Yeah.
But there's such a core love of what makes Starfleet Starfleet, which is we can be better. It doesn't matter whether you're human, Vulcan, you name it, Klingon, you can be better. You can strive for the best. You can work together. Intelligence, knowledge, experience, loyalty, all of these things matter. And mm-hmm. in that sense, Star Trek is very Ted Lasso-like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
All right, on to the main event. We've put it off as long as we could, but here we are, Star Trek, Strange New Worlds. What were you thinking going into the show? And then what were you feeling as you were watching season one?
I'm just excited about any new Star Trek. I liked the idea of revisiting Pike, and I liked the, Anson Mount. He reprised Pike for Discovery.
That's right.
He was and very good I think at Discovery. Everyone, oh, so good. Yeah. And I think even everyone was watching it, but like, he needs his own show. Like, I just think everyone said it.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't surprising when they brought him back to tell the Pike story. So that was interesting just to get that kind of background, you know. And then to like, I love what they're doing with all the characters that we know, right? Yeah. Pike, one of them, obviously, right? Number one, Uhura, Spock. And like seeing them not quite the person that they are that we know from TOS, and how like it's brilliant. Yeah. Like how these people got to the person that they were. I love you seeing Uhura being like, I don't know what I want. Where like the Uhura and TOS.
She's very confident. She's extremely. Completely certain of herself. But no, mm-hmm. she had to get there. She had to go through yeah. a whole process, and we learn much more about her backstory in a way we never learned before.
Yeah. And they are doing such a, like, yeah, I agree. Out of the new Trek, it is my favorite series now.
And so I was excited when it was announced, because I'm like, oh, that was cool. And Anson Mount was great as Pike, and Rebecca Romijn as number one, and Ethan Peck was really good as Spock in Discovery. And yeah, I'm like, and obviously it was only after he actually shaved and they're like, oh my God, he does look like Spock. Because before that, it's like bearded Spock the whole time. I was like, oh my God, this is totally different. But, you know, it really exceeded my expectations greatly mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, just how well executed it was. I mean, I think that, you know, the first episode, that's the episode where they go down to the alien planet to prevent a war and everything. That was good. But then mm-hmm. it started getting better and better. I was like, oh my God, this is really something special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Nurse Chapel, I almost feel like, right, I would say like, this right, Spock was my favorite, and I love Spock now, but there's something about Nurse Chapel.
The actress who plays her just brings so much to the role. I mean, yeah. she's simultaneously badass and just, you know, very charismatic, but also mm-hmm. vulnerable. And, yeah. you know, you really understand to a much greater extent. Like in the original series, we learn that, you know, she is secretly in love with Spock. Mm-hmm. Right? That's something that yeah. comes out during the original series. And you're mm-hmm. kind of like, well, of course, who wouldn't love Spock? I mean, everyone loves Spock. I mean, Kirk loves Spock. I mean, everyone right. loves Spock. McCoy loves Spock. But seeing it in Strange New Worlds, seeing their interactions and seeing, you know, a Spock that's not quite as in control. And, yeah. you know, it's clear that Spock understands that there's something going on. Mm-hmm. And he's trying not to talk about it. He's trying to pretend that it's not there. But you could tell he feels something, too.
Yes. Yes. Oh, completely. Right. Yeah. They're playing those characters so well. And yeah, again, it's just like, I was even watching some interviews with some of them, and they all have varying degrees of like having watched the original series before, mm-hmm. but they clearly all studied like the nuances of their characters. And I think they like, again, you can clearly see these people growing up into who we know from original series. Like, it's clear.
And every time, I just enjoy it every time Ethan Peck says sensor readings. Nobody says sensor other than Spock.
Right. And I love how they're reimagining the, I just forgot the name of the aliens.
The Gorn.
Gorn. Right. Like the Gorn was such a silly character from the original series, and making that this really kind of horrifying, badass, like, really unkillable alien is very cool.
Exactly. Now, we do have to talk about, a spoiler a warning for everyone who has not finished watching the first season, but come on, you should have finished watching the first season already. But one of the characters I think so many people really enjoyed was one of the new characters. It wasn't part of the original show, Chief Engineer Hammer. And he plays this critical role in the show. He and Uhura have this remarkable relationship. And of course, he heroically gives his own life to protect the crew along the way. And I think that was a bit of a shock. I mean, on some level, we know, hey, he's not going to be here. I mean, obviously, Scotty comes into play, and Scotty's a chief engineer. But I remember being very surprised when he had to sacrifice himself. And that was in one of the episodes where they tangled with the Gorn.
Agreed. The
How did you feel about Hammer?
Hammer was a great, I agree. I was very sad to see him go. He was a phenomenal character. He was so he kind of played in some ways Spock's role when
Yes.
Spock's a little bit more, a little bit more together, understands himself a little bit better. And the fact that he was blind, like that whole, how he was interacting with the crew and kind of how that came up was really interesting. And yes, and then he was in a way kind of took Uhura under his arm, and like it was fascinating character.
And I did not even realize until after that episode, as I was reading things, that the actor who played him brilliantly, Bruce Horak, is himself blind. And I'm like, wow, again, it's a great example of Star Trek and its long history of representation. And they're also bringing him back. He's going to come back and be a part of season two. They're a little coy on how that is. I assume it's not that magically Hammer has been resurrected. He probably will be playing a different character. He may play Hammer in flashbacks, but he is not done with the series. And I'm glad of that because he is great in that role.
Agreed. Agreed.
So with Star Trek: Strange New Worlds, I think you said, of course, you still love Spock, love Pike, love these characters, but you're like, Nurse Chapel is your favorite character from season one. Let's talk more
I
about
think
Nurse
so.
Chapel. And I talked a little bit about why I really loved her portrayal, but talk to me about like what about Nurse Chapel has really got you into it?
It's what you said, her variety, her depth. Like she's, like even when they're in some scenes where they're fighting aliens and like instead of just being like kind of like, oh my God, we're under attack, I'm just gonna hide in the sick bay, she goes out there and she's clearly terrified, but has armed herself with what she has as a nurse, right? And it is a badass. I mean, just cut like like fearless yet terrified yet strong and vulnerable, and like she plays this like rainbow of characteristics and emotions that is so believable and honest. And it's just like, I'm just like, I want to know more about her. Like I want more and more and more of her.
And she plays beautifully off Dr. Mbenga, who's fantastic. The actor is doing a fantastic job with Dr. Mbenga as well. She plays amazingly off Spock, as we discussed. And she also has this fascinating friendship with Ortegas. And you sort of like, wait a minute, these two are like so different. Like Ortegas is this explicit badass, swaggering, helmswoman who, don't take crap from anybody. And yet it's clear that like they're old friends. They've gone on adventures together.
And that's delightful, like that I think, and I think that speaks to that kind of camaraderie on the crew that we're getting with this ensemble cast really well. That yeah, I mean, they're on this ship and it goes for years, right, without like going back home, and so they are their family, they are their crew, and that is very evident, I think, in this kind of ensemble type crew interaction.
Absolutely. Well, we're almost out of time, so we got to do a couple things. The first is look forward to season two. What are you hoping to see in season two?
Ooh. Just more. Just give me more Nurse Chapel, give me more of everybody. Obviously, I think we know where Pike is going, right? Like we know where he's going to end up. And I love that element of him, how he has this fear, but he's also, again, I think very like a character with a lot of depth, and he's got this fear, but he's very he knows what he has to do. I love the storyline they told about if you don't, you know, he was like trying to avoid what he saw as the future.
And again, he wasn't
And
trying to avoid it for himself. He didn't try to avoid his fate. He had resigned himself. He's like, if this is what had to be, he made a choice back in Discovery. He was man of honor. He's going to stick with that choice. But then he met one of the cadets that wasn't going to make it. And that's what tipped him over the edge. He meets this boy and he's like, oh my God, I don't care about me, but I have to try to save this boy. And that's when he discovers that things have to happen that way, because if they do not, then Spock will not survive to do all the amazing things that he does. And that
I mean, can you
Spock is the
imagine?
hero, right? That's what he, and he has to realize Spock, this junior officer, which who he obviously is very fond of and views almost like a son, he's actually the hero. I'm the supporting cast. I may be the captain of Starfleet's flagship. I may be one of the most famous captains in the galaxy. I'm just a supporting player. This guy's the
No,
star.
this is Spock, right? Like, yeah. I mean, think about what Spock does. I mean, oh, you're right. Like, I mean, just reunification, right?
And then, save the galaxy about 17 times, and then also, bring the Romulans back peacefully.
You know, no
Nothing
biggie.
much. Nothing much. Just the most accomplished guy in the galaxy. Okay. No wonder we love him so much.
Yeah, so I just want more of it. I love the storytelling. I love, and I, you know, and I love, you know, Pike's kind of very much a father figure to the crew, it feels like. You know, like just him having everyone, and he's cooking, like, you know, he's got his apron and he's cooking and he cooks, you know, home cooked meals for this crew of people. Like, it's just beautiful. I love it. I can't wait for it to come back. Cannot wait.
Exactly, much like Ted Lasso. I mean, I think one of the things we should do in our clubhouse is to draw the analogies and say, okay, how do these two casts line up? How do these two characters line up? Because obviously Ted and Pike line up very closely. But then how does everyone else line up? I also have I can't resist. I mean, I remember reading one of these articles about Strange New Worlds, and somebody said, with Anson Mount's portrayal of Captain Pike, the question you find you're asking yourself is it possible for someone to be too handsome, too compassionate, too charismatic, too caring, too courageous? I mean, oh my God, it's astonishing, and the level of admiration we find for him. Maybe we'll see. Maybe look. Maybe we'll see more of his darker side. Maybe we'll understand the struggles he goes through as well. But boy, he's amazing.
Agreed.
Well, the other bit of business is you mentioned that you don't have much of an online presence in terms of your art, but you do have a Twitter account where you do post quite a bit. Where do people find you on Twitter?
It is my name, Andrea DMW. So Andrea DeMaro Walton, Andrea DMW
So that's at Andrea
at Twitter.
DMW. Any other places they should look for you?
I'm the same on LinkedIn and Facebook.
Awesome. And I will give you a recommendation. I don't know if you have joined this. There's a group on Facebook called Star Trek Wholesome Posting.
Ooh.
So what it is just people post wholesome Star Trek content. I think you would love it. Go there, apply to Beyond. They do ask a quiz, like who's your favorite character from this show? And they want to make sure that people are real Star Trek fans and they read the
Yeah.
responses. But obviously, you and I are going to qualify without a problem.
Yeah, cool. I will. I'll look at that.
Awesome. Well, Dre, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule for this. I hope that my regular audience will enjoy it. I'll definitely share this with our Ted Lasso brethren. I hope they enjoy it as well. I hope that people sign up and subscribe to the Coach Beard Book Club podcast. And I just want to thank you again. I can't thank you enough for what a wonderful time walking down these memory lanes and getting a chance to speak.
Yeah, I love talking to a fellow Trekkie, and you can't see, but live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Well, we can't possibly end on a better note than that. Thank you again for listening, everyone. This has been the Chris Yeh Podcast with my special guest, Dre Damaro Walton. Again, thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this, please tell a friend.